In a moment, Carl and Susan are going to share with us, but first, a complimentary passage from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 48 and verses 6b to 8. Isaiah is speaking God's word, not only to the people of that day, but also to us too. From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. They are created now and not long ago. You have not heard them before today, so you cannot say, "Yes, I knew of them." You have neither heard nor understood. From of old, your ears have not been open.
Good morning. My name is Cornelius, and I am a Roman centurion in the mighty Roman army. And I have done quite well. I have a nice family. The Roman army have stationed me here in the land of Israel and have provided me generous house and accommodation. I have servants and soldiers who serve under me and attend to my needs. But since probably my teenage years, I have been acutely aware that really life is probably not all about me. That there must be something, someone out there who has made it all possible, who cares for us and draws us all together. I'm pleased that I've been stationed here in the land of Israel amongst the local people who are very religious. And I admire them for their faith in one God that they pray to. I would love to hear more of this God that they worship. But they as a people understand themselves as holy. And other people like me from the Roman army as Gentiles and unholy. And they like to keep their distance. I would happily invite them to my home to tell me about the God that they worship. But I know that they will not come because they are holy and me and my house is unholy. But I respect that. I respect that. But I pray regularly myself. And I often give gifts to the poor, the people in the villages and the farmsteads. But one day, when I was praying as usual, I had an experience which was anything but usual. Suddenly, as I was praying, the room was filled with light. And there before me was this shining, dazzling figure. I thought I was going crazy, but then the figure spoke to me and said, "Cornelius," called my name. He said, "Cornelius, your prayers and your offerings have risen up like an offering before God." I didn't know what to make of this, but then this figure started giving me instructions and said, "Send word to a guy called Peter." Peter, I've never heard of a guy called Peter. "And send word to him in some house, a random house." How would I know where they would find this house? "And it would be in a place called Joppa." "Well, I know that. That's about a day's journey from here. Send word to him and he will come." Well, that all sounded utter madness to me. But as I came out of this kind of vision experience and realized that I was still human, still alive, and things were around me, despite how crazy these instructions had seemed, I knew I had to follow them. And so I summoned my servants and dispatched them to the town of Joppa with these kind of crazy, vague instructions to find this man called Peter. And off they went with military efficiency.
"Well, hello, it's Peter here. Simon Peter. I'm sure you've heard of me. I was one of Jesus' top disciples in his inner circle, you know? And now I'm one of his foremost apostles, one of the leaders in the new movement that we call the Way, the body of believers in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Messiah. Oh, I know what you're thinking. I wasn't always that reliable, was I? For instance, there was the time when I was the first that declared that Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of the Most High, and just a few minutes later, rebuking Jesus for saying that he had to die. But I didn't understand, not at that point, did I? And then there was the time where I was the one that said, Lord, I'm going to walk on water, let me come out of the boat and join you. And I did. But a couple minutes later, I was chewing on seaweed. The Lord saved me. He always does. And then there was that other time when I declared that others might leave him, others might forsake him. This was just before his death, but I would never leave him. And hours later, I was denying that I even knew him. But that's all behind me. The Lord's forgiven me. He's done more than forgive me. He has said to me, feed my sheep. He made me into one of his shepherds. He gave me that role. Now I'm on the straight and narrow. No more wavering for me. I know exactly what the Lord wants. I know how he wants me to work. At least, I thought I did. All that's changed recently. I've had to rethink a few things. Started a few days ago when I was at the home of Simon the Tanner in the town of Joppa. I know what you're thinking, tanning, that is a dirty, smelly business. And tanners are considered the lowest of the low in Jewish societies because they have to handle impure things like carcasses and other things I won't even mention. But I thought Jesus associated with the outcasts, didn't he? Indeed he did. Prostitutes, lepers, even tax collectors. So I thought, I'm very accepting of all people. I will stay. I will take up Simon's invitation and stay with him. Very accepting, very tolerant. At least I thought I was. I've had another rethink. You see, I was up on the roof, waiting for dinner to be prepared, when I fell into a sort of trance, and down came a sheet with all manner of creatures, reptiles, rodents, even swine. I heard a voice saying, rise up, Peter, kill and eat. I knew that had to be a test. Those animals weren't kosher. No, no, Lord, I said, no unclean thing has ever crossed my lips. I will not. Then, a very confusing instruction. Do not call unclean what I have cleansed. What could it mean? I was very confused. Even more muddled when it happened two times more. And you know, when the Lord says something three times to you, you're meant to listen. Well, I was just thinking it over when I had another message. I was out of the trance now, but I heard these words. Go downstairs. There are some visitors for you. You must receive them. So I did. I went downstairs, opened the door, and there they were, just at that moment approaching the door, looking rather surprised. I was surprised. I was shocked because they were Gentiles, non-Jewish people. I had to welcome them in. That's what the Lord had commanded me. They told me about their master, Cornelius, and that he had sent them. They stayed the night, and the next day we went to see Cornelius. Cornelius was waiting for me, gathered a whole bunch of people there, gathered to hear what I had to say. So I preached the gospel to them. I told them about Jesus, how he'd come as Lord and Messiah, how he'd walked among us, how he'd healed and done good, how he'd suffered and died and rose again so that all who believe in him can receive forgiveness for their sins and have peace with God. And as soon as I said that, all who believe in him, boom, the Holy Spirit came down in a big way. Wow. There was praising, there was dancing, there was singing, there was speaking in tongues. We were amazed that Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit. Well, the evidence was right in front of us. We had to baptize them to welcome them into the body of believers. But we were astonished, absolutely astonished, that salvation had come even to the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, is how Peter had his reset button pushed in a major way. I hope from that monologue you realize what a big shift it was, big paradigm shift there was in their thinking, that salvation could be for everyone, that it could be for the Gentiles as well. You see, they'd been raised, it was really entrenched, they'd been raised thinking and believing that the Jewish people were chosen, special, holy people, and actually they were. But now they had something new to take on, the realization that Jesus, through his death, had knocked down the dividing wall and made it available to everybody. You know, those views were so entrenched, I really think, that without the dramatic events of the story that Carl and I have just told you, without the angel visitations and the trance and the vision and the coincidences and the way the Holy Spirit came in power, if it had not been so dramatic, Peter probably wouldn't have changed his thinking. The Lord really moved on them. What a shake-up it was. So now the question is, what about us? Do we need a shake-up? Could I have the key question now? Is there any area where the Lord would want to shake up our views? That's our challenge. Something to think about. Are we stuck in our ways in any way? Are we limited in our views? Do we cling to a certain way of doing things at the cost of shutting our hearts to new ventures or adventures with the Lord? Do we think that we know how God works to the extent that we might be closed to new works? Like Peter, do we have a narrow view of who can come into the kingdom and how and when? Do we impose prerequisites on people that the Lord himself does not require? We have to remember that his grace is enough. His love is immense. He longs for all mankind to be drawn in, and he welcomes them, and he says, come as you are. Is that what we say? Or do we imply that people must somehow show themselves worthy or do something or perform something before they're welcomed in, and thus limit the work of the cross? Just like in Peter's situation, Cornelius' situation, the Holy Spirit will come in power. He will fall. He will move hearts. He will change lives. Do we really believe that? Does that inform what we do, what we seek, where we act? And are we ready, willing, and expectant? Do we say, Lord, grant us ears to hear, Give us hearts of courage to obey? Do we invite him to come, or do we hold on to the control ourselves? Let's just pray. Lord, save us from limited views of your power, your grace, even your will. Guide us into new and bigger things for you. Lord, we declare now we don't want to stay where we are. We want to move on. We want to do big things in your name. Strengthen our faith for that, Lord. Amen.
Let me give you an example in my own experience where God had to shake up my views. I was leading worship one Sunday morning. This was years ago. This was in a different church. It wasn't in this place. But during the worship, someone in the congregation came up to me. I was leading, and while there was songs going on, they whispered in my ear that they felt that God wanted to say something, that this person wanted had something from God to bring to share for the whole congregation. And in those situations, as service leader, you have to make a split-second decision. You listen to what they're telling you, and in a split second, you have to decide, yes, are you going to let that person speak? You don't know all the details, but are you going to trust and go with that? Yes, are you going to speak on their behalf so you get them to tell you and then you try and relay it? Or actually, are you going to park it? Are you going to decline and say, actually, I don't think that's a good fit for this morning, but thank you for coming and sharing? You have to decide that within about 15 seconds. And that morning, I decided to go with what this person wanted to share and invited her at the end of the songs to stand up with a microphone and share. But here's the thing. I knew something about this person. Not everyone in the congregation knew this, but I and others in the leadership of the church knew that this person was living in a clear lifestyle choice that many people, many Christians, would find difficult and some would outright disagree with. I knew that. But in that split second, I thought, yeah, please do share, take the microphone. And she shared, and I am confident that what she shared was something for the church given by God, by the Holy Spirit, that morning. And the service continued all fine and went home, and people were blessed. But here's the thing. I went home having to reevaluate, because it was clear to me that the Spirit could speak through this person. Yet my preconception was that the Spirit would not speak through a person who had made such lifestyle choices. That had to be reevaluated. And I had to rework that through for myself. As it says there, what areas may the Lord need to shake up our understanding, where we kind of have to recalibrate our own theology, our own understanding of God and his ways, because of the way he is now working in front of our very eyes. The challenge that goes with that, which is on the next screen, is to be open to God doing these completely new things, to be open to the fact that he may need you to recalibrate your understanding of what he has been doing. You see, my fear is that if we are not open, if we think that our understanding is all nice and tight and fixed and is a done deal and its course is absolutely correct, my fear is that somehow we may hinder the work of the Spirit. That God may not be able to work so wonderfully and graciously and powerfully and inclusively among us if we are not open to God doing new things. Somehow we may be blocking. You see, for Peter, there was like all this stuff going on, Cornelius had a vision. Peter himself had a trance and then some kind of sense that these visitors would come. Just at that moment, visitors came. So a God-engineered coincidence. And then as he went to speak, the Spirit descended and moved powerfully. He didn't even get to finish his message and the Spirit just took over. But he was then open to recalibrate and rethink his understanding. Can the Spirit do all this stuff and yet we somehow remain closed? Seems to me that that would be a tragic thing. So let's learn to be open. You see, God doesn't require us to be perfect up front. God doesn't require us to have everything correctly calibrated in our minds and our faith and our understanding. He simply requires us to be open to journey with him so that as the Spirit does things before us and unfolds things, we can learn and go with him in his leading by being open. As a church, we want to see kingdom life across the city. We want to see God move in lives in all kinds of places, in all kinds of ways. That will require us to be open to his leading, and he wants us to move. Let us be a people who are ready to be surprised by the grace of God for our city, for our nation, and for our world. Let's pray. Spirit of God, we welcome you to move among us as you choose. We welcome you to refresh, to change, to jolt our understanding of you where it needs that correction. It needs us to see in a fresh way. Spirit of God, be pleased to move among us. Thank you, Lord.